In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Voters cast their last-minute ballots today in Juneau's first-ever by-mail election. Even though voters could return their ballots by mail or at drop boxes, the city had two vote centers open for in-person voting. City Clerk Beth McEwen said voting was steady at City Hall and the Mendenhall Valley Library through the first half of the day.
Hopefully this has been an increase in voter turnout. I won't know till we see the final numbers, but we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Vote by mail has been touted by election officials around the U.S. to improve voter turnout by making it easier to vote. Last year's local election voter turnout was 31%. As of last week, about a quarter of registered voters had returned their ballots. Nancy Such stopped by City Hall to cast her vote.
I think they had it worked out pretty slick to accommodate both me voting in person and dropping off my other household members' ballots. It was quick and it was easy.
The vote centers will remain open until 8 p.m., so will the ballot drop boxes at the Douglas Library and Stater Harbor. Ballots returned by mail must be postmarked by today. The Juneau Assembly approved holding this year's election by mail earlier this year to limit the chance of exposure to COVID-19 for poll workers and voters. The city partnered with Anchorage election officials. Anchorage has been holding local elections by mail since 2018. Juneau ballots returned by mail go straight to the Anchorage Vote Center. Another 5 crates of ballots have already been delivered there as well. After gathering the remaining ballots, McEwen will accompany them to Anchorage via Alaska Airlines on Thursday. Ballot processing will take place Friday, with initial results expected in the afternoon. Those will remain unofficial until the election is certified later this month. Sitka's municipal election is today. Early voter turnout is more than triple last year's count, meaning that Sitkins likely won't have a good idea of who won until Wednesday afternoon at the earliest, KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Earlier this year, as the coronavirus pandemic grew in scope, Municipal Clerk Sarah Peterson started to wonder how it might affect Sitka's municipal election, which she spearheads every year.
Back in March, I kind of wondered what the election might look like and how that was all going to come together, and ultimately I decided for a couple of reasons just to keep things as is. I felt like we were all kind of all been shook around like a little snow globe this year with things changing by the day, and so I just tried to keep something normal for folks this year.
As usual, there were many ways to vote early in Sitka's local election this year. Voters could vote early by mail or by fax, and polls have been open to early in-person voting for the last 2 weeks at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Voters heading to the polls on Election Day can expect plenty of safety measures in place. Booths will be spaced at 6 feet, and poll workers will follow a regular sanitizing and disinfecting routine. Masks and gloves will be available. Masks are encouraged, but not required. And while safer polls may have added some logistical challenges across the country, Peterson says in some ways, the local election will be more accessible this year due to a new piece of equipment.
An accessible unit that provides assistance for folks who may be visually impaired. You know, like maybe if they need like a larger font, it's great because you can, it's just like a touch screen type thing. So you can mark your voting selections, and then at the end, it will print your ballot. There's also another option where you can be read the ballot. So that's a nice feature as well.
While the city is prepared for folks to turn out on Election Day, Peterson says Sitkins took advantage of the early voting options, perhaps more than ever before.
We've had a huge turnout for advanced in-person voting. Probably we've been averaging about 100 people a day for in-person voting. So yeah, we've had a great response, and I'm happy about that. I was concerned. I was trying to decrease the crowd volume on Election Day, so I'm really happy that we've had such a great turnout for advanced voting.
As of Friday evening, just over 1,400 people had voted early, most of them in person. That's more than half of the total voter turnout in last year's municipal election. Peterson says numbers like these are unprecedented.
For the 2019 municipal election, we had a total of 411 people, and we had 38 by mail, and 342 in person. The year in 2018, with a mayoral race and two props, two assembly seats, two school board seats, we had a total of 561 people that took advantage of the absentee options. So this year, I mean, we're going to probably be three times, you know, that number.
But here's the thing. Early in-person votes are treated just like mail-in absentee ballots. They aren't counted the night of the election. Usually, Peterson counts absentee ballots on the Friday after the election, but she knew this year that wasn't going to fly.
I decided months ago, I said, well, there's going to be so much interest, and I don't know what the numbers are. You know, it's going to be a completely different turnout in each of these for these each voting option. So we're going to start counting absentee on Wednesday, the 7th, and we will process as much as we can that day. We're going to start at noon.
There are 13 candidates running for public office this year, including two vying for the mayor's chair, three for two seats on the school board, and eight candidates running for two open assembly seats. And those races in a normal year can be pretty tight. In 2018, for example, Assemblymember Valerie Nelson beat the third-place candidate, Brennan Carter, by just 28 votes. This means we likely won't know who won until Wednesday evening at the earliest. Peterson says she hopes they'll get through counting most of the early votes on Wednesday. Any remaining absentee ballots will be processed on Friday. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Construction began in August on Sealaska Heritage Institute's Future Arts Campus in downtown Juneau. But they found contaminated soil, which may affect the Institute's goal to have it complete in time for celebration next year. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
This corner of downtown Juneau ought to be busy with construction work right now. Instead, earth movers sit idle inside the fenced-off site.
Believe me, it's aggravating for me to look out the window and not see anything happening because we're waiting for soil testing to come back. And so things are just kind of on hold. And it is frustrating to sit here.
That's Lee Kadinger, Chief Operating Officer of Sealaska Heritage Institute. His office with the cultural nonprofit is across the street from the construction site. He says workers took several soil samples early on. One had low levels of contamination. The rest were clean. But when excavation got going in earnest, it became apparent that they had a more substantial problem. He says there's likely heating fuel or diesel in the soil.
Prior to Sealaska's ownership, there was a gas station on the site that was there, I believe, until the 60s or thereabouts. But, you know, there's also many underground buried fuel tanks that are in the downtown area uphill from the site.
Kadinger says the Institute is working with the State Department of Environmental Conservation on a plan to deal with the bad soil, which will take time and money. It's not clear how much.
You know, we don't really have all the answers yet as to the totality of that.
For example, he says depending on what's in the soil, they may be able to dispose of it locally, or they may have to ship it to Seattle. Kadinger says the Institute is looking into ways to recover some of the cost of dealing with it, like insurance, finding liable past owners, and grants from state or federal agencies.
And, you know, again, those things just take time to work out. So those are all things that we're looking at.
The Institute wants to open its new arts campus by the end of next summer, in time for celebration. That's the once-every-2-years festival of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures. The Institute has already raised most of the original $13 million price tag for the project. Juneau Assembly is considering a $1.5 million grant that would get the Institute almost the rest of the way. But in committee last week, a few Assembly members said they weren't sure it was a good time to spend that money, with so much uncertainty around the city's finances. Kadinger made an economic argument, saying the project is expected to create 55 jobs and lead to millions of dollars of economic impact. He also told the Assembly that delaying the grant...
Pretty much what would end up happening is pausing everything in a big, muddy, dirty, contaminated hole for months.
For now, the site is a dirty, contaminated hole, while the Institute works with regulators on a plan to clean it up. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The temporary closure of a nationwide movie theater chain is expected to result in the indefinite closure of three theaters in Alaska's largest city. The Anchorage Daily News reported a trio of Regal Cinema theaters in Anchorage are scheduled to close Thursday. Regal, part of Cineworld Group, said in a statement it will suspend all operations in the U.S. and the United Kingdom beginning Thursday. Regal is the second largest cinema chain in the U.S. and initially closed its locations throughout the country in March in accordance with health mandates to curb the spread of COVID-19. I'm Pablo Peña, and this is KTOO News.